From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Carol Bousquet with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, May 20th, 2026.
This Day in Maine is made possible in part by Now You're Cooking. Celebrating 26 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath. Open 7 days a week.
Maine Representative Shelley Pingree described the late Congressman Barney Frank as, quote, a member like none other, intelligence and sharp wit. Frank represented Massachusetts in the U.S. House for more than 3 decades, but moved to Maine with his husband, Jim, after retirement. Pingree described the pair as dear friends, and she described Frank as a pioneer who withstood the challenges that came with being one of the first openly gay members of Congress.
And he did so with, you know, total honesty and courage and grace, and was just deeply respected for it. And then as we made advancements throughout the years on equality and marriage equality, he was always very strategic and thoughtful.
Frank died Tuesday at his home in Agunquit. He was 86. Maine's congressional delegation unanimously opposes the Trump administration's creation of a $1.8 billion legal settlement fund that is widely viewed as benefiting the president's allies. Kevin Miller has more.
Democratic Congressman Jared Golden says, quote, nothing about this fund passes the smell test because people already have recourse through the courts if they believe they've been wrongly targeted by the federal government. Democratic Congresswoman Shelley Pingree called it a, quote, slush fund for Trump's political allies and cronies and an absolutely outrageous abuse of power. In a recorded statement, Independent Senator Angus King described the fund as a, quote, outrageous abuse of the American taxpayers.
This is corruption, pure and simple, and the public should not stand for it. If Donald Trump wants to reward his political friends or the people that attacked the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, let him do it with his own money. He's got plenty of it.
On Tuesday, Republican Senator Susan Collins had pressed Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche on the legal basis of the fund. After that exchange, Collins released a statement saying that she does not support the program. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
Republican Senator Susan Collins joined Democrats yesterday to advance a resolution that would force President Donald Trump to end the war in Iran or seek congressional approval. Steve Missler has more.
Collins was one of 4 Republicans to support the resolution. It faces a near-certain veto if it passes, but its advance Tuesday further illustrates the unpopularity of the war and the resulting surge in gas prices. The conflict is now in its 3rd month and well past the 60-day threshold that requires the president to seek congressional authorization. The Trump administration has argued that a tenuous ceasefire stopped the clock on that law and has subsequently ignored it. Collins had previously voted against several other war powers resolutions citing the 60-day law. Her vote on Tuesday comes amid relentless criticism of the war by Graham Platner, her likely Democratic opponent in the November midterm election, as she seeks a 6th term. Independent Senator Angus King also supported advancing the resolution on Tuesday. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Immigration advocates in Maine are reporting a recent increase in federal enforcement activity. While Immigration and Customs Enforcement has not released specific numbers, the reports are putting many immigrant communities on edge, just as some had begun to feel a return to some level of normalcy following the last enforcement surge in January. Ari Snyder reports.
Let us pray in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let us pray in the name of Jesus.
On a Sunday in southern Maine, a man who asked to be identified simply as Pastor Antonio helps lead a multilingual service at an evangelical church that draws from the local African communities. About a dozen adults have joined in person, while a handful of kids play in the room next door. Antonio says that's a fraction of typical turnout, as he believes a resurgent fear of ICE is keeping people away.
Some of them, when you call, try to reach out to them, they say, listen, Pastor, we are scared. We can't come anymore in person. We prefer to stay home.
Like many of his congregants, Antonio says his immigration case is still in process. And even as he tries to maintain a consistent presence at the pulpit, he's wrestling with his own fears.
Yes, I have concern because, you know, as a parent, I don't know what can happen to me.
A Department of Homeland Security spokesperson did not directly answer a question about how many immigration arrests have been made in Maine over the last couple months. But the Portland-based Immigrant Legal Advocacy Project says it's seeing an uptick in ICE activity concentrated in the Lewiston-Auburn area, with agents often detaining people near their homes. The Maine Immigrants Rights Coalition is also reporting an increase in arrests being called into its ICE hotline, and some of the informal networks that came together during the January surge to document ICE activity are reactivating.
I got out of my car, I approached the situation, I was recording.
On Tuesday, a woman named Sarah says she witnessed and filmed several ICE agents making an arrest near downtown Portland. In the video, an agent tells her to move back as they put a man into an unmarked car.
I'm a peaceful observer.
You're observing too close, back up.
Sarah, who asked to be identified only by her first name for fear of being tracked by ICE, says the whole incident was over in minutes, but she tried to get the man's information before the agents drove him away so that community groups might be able to identify him.
What's your name?
Guillermo, Guillermo.
It looks like they're targeting people and they wait for you when you get out from your home or from your work, or, you know, they stop you in the middle of the road and they just take you.
Patrick Mulonda is president of Maine's Congolese Community Association. He says he's getting more frequent calls about community members being detained.
3 weeks having 9 people arrested, that's a lot. Yeah, it's concerning, actually.
Mulonda says the pace of arrests is still far lower than it was in January, when ICE arrested nearly 200 people in less than a week. And for now, he says he's not aware of any community members staying home from work or skipping school for fear of going out. But Mulonda says it's once again sparking anxiety within the community, just as it seemed life was returning to normal.
So they feel like something can happen anytime, you know.
Ilora Mukherjee, an immigration attorney and professor at Columbia Law School, says that that fear and uncertainty are the result of specific policy choices.
It is absolutely intentional.
Mukherjee says past presidential administrations, both Democratic and Republican, set clear priorities for immigration enforcement, generally targeting people with serious criminal records, final deportation orders, or those who'd recently crossed the border. Now she says the Trump administration is hoping to push people to self-deport by casting an ever wider dragnet.
To the extent that the administration can terrorize communities and make children and families alike feel unsafe in the United States, they're more likely to leave, and that's what this administration wants.
As songs of worship fill the room at his church in southern Maine, Pastor Antonio says he's leaning on the belief that this difficult time will, eventually, pass.
We know it's not easy. It's just a time that will end one day.
Until then, Antonio says his advice to parishioners is twofold. First, make sure your immigration papers are in order. Then, pray to God for protection. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Ari Snyder.
A U.S. Supreme Court decision in January allows greater transparency for some medical malpractice lawsuits, according to an attorney who recently filed a case in federal court in Maine. Elizabeth Kayada represents Florida residents Jeffrey and Kim Sayward, who filed suit against Maine Health, Spectrum Healthcare, and a radiologist for failing to diagnose a blood clot in Jeffrey's brain in 2023. Kayada said Jeffrey suffered a stroke as a result and is permanently impaired. She says medical malpractice lawsuits filed in state court follow a pre-litigation process that can keep them confidential for a year or more.
You have to go through this confidential process that is shrouded in secrecy and lack of transparency.
But the recent Supreme Court decision allows medical malpractice lawsuits against non-governmental entities to be filed in federal court if the parties are in different states. A federal judge has ruled that the town of Bar Harbor can only enforce a 1,000-passenger cap on cruise ships during the months of July and August, and not during the rest of the year. Nicole Ogrisco has more.
It's the latest in a long-running legal saga over a citizens' initiative that Bar Harbor voters approved nearly 4 years ago, which placed a daily cap on the number of passengers disembarking cruise ships. But a federal judge ruled that the cap is excessive during the shoulder seasons and said that it can only be enforced during the peak summer months. In a statement, the town council says Bar Harbor will not accept new cruise ship reservations until it establishes regulations that conform with the court's ruling. Meantime, American Cruise Lines is making more than 50 visits to Bar Harbor between May and October, but the ships carry fewer than 150 passengers. Two large cruise ships are also making several trips starting in August, but the town says those reservations were booked before daily passenger caps went into effect. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nicole Ogrisco.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join Irwin Gratz for Morning Edition starting at 5 a.m. I'm Carol Bousquet. Thanks for listening.